Darren Haynes. Darren, how are you this morning?
Peter, doing pretty good. I was out with your people on Saturday night watching UFC. I'm a bit of a rookie.
Okay.
But Mr. Kerr and I went out and checked it out.
Boy, I bet that was just a rowdy time, wasn't it? You and Rob just getting into both of you guys in like Affliction shirts and all of that, right?
Something like that. It took actually, I could not believe, you know what? It took us 8 different pubs before we could find one that had a table in the corner open. It was busy. And yeah. You know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of, and this is going way back when only some games were on television, if there was a Flames-Oilers game that wasn't on TV and you could only see it at the bar with the satellite dish, that was what it reminded me of. You got to get there early or you can't get in. And we got turned away several places.
Yeah, well, when they're big, it's real tough to find a place to watch it. And then the atmosphere is just crazy for those things. I'm imagining the place was kind of losing its mind when the finish happened in the McGregor fight.
Yeah, it was, for me, it was this very, I would say, this fascinating people watching. Like that was, yeah. that was great. Just how into it some people were. So it was a good experience.
And you always get the guy, oh, I could beat up that dude. Oh, yeah, I could absolutely take down that guy. Oh, you get a lot of those, don't you?
Yeah, but no, it was a fun night.
Also on Saturday, the Flames beat the Pittsburgh Penguins. I raised the question for the guys on the text line. Where are you on this? Were you happy that the Flames, all right, finally some hard work paid off, or are you where some people are and in full, all right, let's get this tank thing going, and that's a pesky 2 points Calgary just picked up?
Well, I'm ultimately indifferent to whatever they do, but the realistic way to look at it is if anyone's sitting there thinking it's in the best interest of this organization to lose the final 18 games of the season, no, not so much. Like, let's be serious here. So, they're going to win some games. Pittsburgh isn't an arena they've won in very often at all. It's almost, the second version of the Honda Center. So, getting a victory out of that, I think... it was good. It was an important win for the guys in terms of just kind of getting the spirits lifted a little bit. And, there's some young guys in the lineup and whatnot. So definitely you're going to be racking up some wins and look where they are today, the exact same spot. They're in 29th place. So it's not like you got to lose out to get good draft positioning.
I think one of the big surprises from that one wasn't that they won, because you're right, they're going to win a couple, but it's who they beat. And it wasn't like Pittsburgh was kind of just going through the motions. Like it looked like they got Pittsburgh's close to best crack and still came out with a victory. Like that was a pretty impressive win, all things considered.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think whether they fess up to it or not, could Pittsburgh have been better? Did they take Calgary lightly? Probably yes to both of those questions, and I think Calgary's going to get a lot of that, where they might sneak under the radar a little bit on teams. But to their credit, Calgary played the kind of game where if that was what they had been playing most of the season, then the conversation that we're having today would have a whole different tone than it is as a result of them not playing that consistently all year.
Yeah, it's not just, again, we're talking about losses and stuff like that, but it seems like since the trade deadline and even a bit before that, the team's actually been playing the kind of hockey we were kind of looking for. Like it's like a couple years ago, they're going out there making it tough to play against, not winning everything, but they're finally playing, I think, the style of hockey a lot of fans were hoping for.
Yeah, and it's funny how that goes. Now it's a point of they're losing games based on just not quite enough skill compared to their opponent. So, they're doing what they can. So, yeah, as much as that win on Saturday snapped a 7-game losing streak, there have been far worse 7-game losing streaks than what Calgary's was. It was, there was games in there they led. There were close losses in there. There was a couple of duds, but they probably deserved to have more points out of that 7 games than they had. So that one was almost coming, and they were almost due for that win.
The main story for this team for the rest of the season is going to be goaltending. When we had you on a couple weeks ago, you had the story on the 5-year plan for the Flames and net, and the next couple years, the starting goalies were TBD1 and TBD2. Have you seen enough from Yanni Ortio to put him in at least one of those TBDs?
Not yet, but okay. Is he making the right? Is he starting to make the decision a little more interesting? Absolutely. What you need to see from Ortio is A, you need to see a lot of him over the rest of the season. I can't envision a scenario where he shouldn't play at least 12, 13 of these final 17 games, and that will give you a better sampling. Have them in there against, they've got the Kings twice, they've got Anaheim, they've got Chicago, they've got St. Louis. You know, look, forget about the softballs. You want to give a softball start if there's any in there for a team that's in 29th place? You know, give those a backstrom if you need to. Let's see what Ordeo is all about. Give them this real long stretch, which will be the longest stretch of continuous or mostly continuous, let's say consistent playing time, and see where he's at. I think we reserve judgment on what to do with Ordeo, but certainly if he continues to play as he has over these last 2 weeks where – really, there was just one start where he gave up 5 goals, and if you were to look through each of those goals, that was probably a bit unfair just to look at the numbers as well, because there was a few deflections and that sort of thing. So give him opportunity and see if he can't put himself in the conversation for that kind of backup role. I don't think they bring him back as starter by any means, but could he be in the conversation for a backup, kind of seeing how the summer turns out? Very much so if he finishes strong.
Yeah, I think that's kind of where I'm at right now. Like, let's just see the kid. We know what Hiller is. We have a pretty good idea of what Backstrom is. Let's just see what this kid can do. Another guy who has been really catching a lot of people's attention, Michael Backlund. He has been a very big bright spot for the Flames in the last little bit. What have you seen from him?
Absolutely. Playing some of his best hockey. And you know what? I was not surprised to see him have a good game on Saturday because his, for me, if you go back to kind of when his coming out party, if you will, I know he's had proponents that go back several years, but for me, he had 2 games against Pittsburgh a couple years ago where he went head-to-head against Sidney Crosby, and he played very well in both games, and they were both about 2-3 weeks apart. And that, to me, was kind of the turning point where it looked like he really became that player that many people hoped. And so seems to really like playing Pittsburgh. But, yeah, recently he's been there. He was their top goal scorer in February, or I should say in the last month. I did a look at the last 30 days, and Backlund is leading the team. And, you know, you're starting to see I wasn't really sure if that offensive side would come. I mean, you look at the beginning of the season, I think he had 5 goals in his first 50 games, but he's had 8 in the last 15. So he is showing that he does have a little bit more polish. I mean, he really neatly converted that Dougie Hamilton pass against the Penguins. If he can be that, if he can be kind of a 20-goal scorer, the appreciation for Michael Backlund is only going up these days, and it's putting Calgary in a very interesting position with Monahan and Bennett and Backlund. They just don't have the depth on the wings to support 3 pretty good centers right now. So that's where the focus is going to certainly be this offseason, is trying to help out what's a very good cast up the middle.
Well, and that's been the part that's impressed me with Backlund, is that he's putting up pretty good offensive numbers and looking pretty good offensively. And it's not like he's getting Gaudreau and Monahan beside him every game. Like, I think he spent most of Saturday playing with like Hathaway and Juris, which, God love them, they fit a role, but not exactly 2 offensive playmakers that are going to make the rest of their line mates look good, you know?
Yeah, and you know, who was an instrumental figure in Lance Boma getting 16 goals last year? Same guy, Michael Backlund. So so definitely that, and that's a quality. Isn't that what you're looking for players, is the ability to make players they play with better? That's just, if you have that characteristic or that attribute as a player, that's very valuable. So it's going to be very interesting to see, because we talked about the goaltending. The thing is, if you don't like what's out there in the UFA market and you're going to trade for a goalie and you want to bring in not just a retread, not a guy that's on the back nine, but if you want to bring in a legit goalie, Ben Bishop is a guy that keeps coming up, you got to deal something that you don't want to. That's going to be the case. You can't just trade your junk for someone else's treasure. You have to trade a good player to get a good player. And that's where this offseason becomes very interesting, because, you know, does Backlund become maybe a trade chip? I'd hate to see it, and I think that the team would hate to do it, but you got to trade something for something. So that's going to be very interesting, but he's certainly showing how valuable a player he is. He's on a very good deal right now at $3.5 million. So a lot of reasons to keep him, absolutely.
Well, and in terms of the trade chip part, realistically, he's this team's third line center. You know, like, he's been playing very well, but in the grand scheme of things, he's a third line center for this team. And if you can get second line center value for him, it's at least worth taking a look. I love the player. He's been great this season, but I think he's at least worth a look in terms of where his market is trade-wise.
Yeah, and you know, and I think, you know, when you're talking about a team that's almost near the cellar of the league, there's not very many untouchables on this team.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Like, we fall in love with these role player type guys, but team's still 29th right now. Another role player who people fell in love with last season, and injuries and whatnot have slowed him down a bit this year, but Lance Bulma finally puts a puck past a National Hockey League goaltender. I have been underwhelmed by Bulma this season for a number of different reasons, but what have you seen from him?
Well, it's been a tough year. I mean, you know, there's a reason teams have training camps. It's for guys to get their legs in games that don't matter and kind of get back into action. He's had two injuries, significant injuries this year, that's kind of removed that ability. Kind of, I mean, unlike baseball, I mean, teams don't, don't send guys down for a bunch of rehab starts and then activate them when they're ready. In hockey, you know, you're thrown into the lineup and you kind of have to work your way back at NHL speed. So I think it's been a really tough year in that regard. Hasn't been able to kind of really get going. It's a tricky situation. I still stand by the contract they offered him last year. I think they had to. They said go out and prove who you are, and he did. He had a good season. You can't just. It's easy for us to say, oh, they should. What, are you going to walk away from him? I mean, the guy kind of earned the paycheck that he got, and that's just the life and times of the industry. But I think he needs basically a reset next year, because this year, just with the injuries, it's been a tough go.
Tonight, the Flames take on the San Jose Sharks. Chatting Flames with Darren Haynes from flamesfrom80feet.ca. The Flames and Sharks have had an interesting year this year in terms of how they've played against each other. What are you expecting to see from this one at the Dome tonight?
Well, I would expect the Sharks to be a little hungry, obviously, coming off a setback on the weekend. It's going to be interesting to see how Calgary opens up a long homestand. There's no doubt where they are at right now to open this homestand. Are they able to kind of conjure up the emotion and intensity that they're probably going to need to knock off San Jose? We'll see. That first game out after a long homestand or a long road trip can sometimes be tricky, a bit of a trap game for them. But I think, you know, it's those divisional games that guys naturally get up for. So it's a chance for them to be spoiled. I would expect a pretty good hockey game tonight.
Well, and one of the messages from this team has been, okay, we get where we are in the standings, but got to at least put on a bit of a show for the people who are paying money to come see us play. And they've been pretty good on home ice this season. Problem is tonight facing the best road team in the NHL.
Yeah, and there's still lots of guys playing for something, right? I mean, it's easy to look and go, well, you know what, the team probably would be better off if they just lose a bunch of their final games. No player is thinking that. Because there are players, if they start thinking that, those players won't be back on that team that gets that high draft pick. I mean, that is not what it's about at all for the players. So, there's guys who are looking to, you know, there's RFAs that are looking to show that, A, they should be re-signed, and B, they should get a raise. There are other guys that are looking to, kind of move up the depth chart. You know, if you're Jokke Puokka, are you, content being a third-line D, or are you want to make some noise and make an impression that, hey, you know what, consider me as maybe a top-four guy in Russell's absence next year? So there's lots of guys with stuff to play with, and that's really what we're at this point in the season is those kind of things. It's kind of the game within a game. It's the different storylines. It's not the playoff chase, but there's still things to play for and things to watch for if you're a fan.
And some of those guys who could be making or could be trying to make an impression in the last 17 games, maybe not on the NHL roster as we speak right now. Your latest piece on flamesfrom80feet.ca, looking at a couple of the players that you would like to see called up from the American Hockey League. I don't want you to give the entire piece away, but just a couple guys that you maybe have an eye on in the last 17 games who could be called up with the remaining call-ups the Flames are allowed and some emergency call-ups.
Yeah, I don't think, the guy that was kind of the slam dunk to get another chance was Derek Grant, and he had that unfortunate fractured jaw. I think it would be interesting to see him if he can get back to healthy with maybe 8 or 10 games to go. So that would be one definitely, but that's not imminent. So they may, whether they hold one of those recalls for him, it kind of depends, I guess, on where they're at on his rehab. And if it looks like he might be able to go, or if not, then they'll maybe use it on someone else. But other names that come up, Kenny Agostino is someone that I'm not convinced will be a full-time NHLer at any point. I'm not sure he does enough I don't think he does enough of any one thing that really puts him on the map. But he's, you can't fault the production he's put up in Stockton. So Agostino, as one of the guys that they got in the Jerome McGinley deal, I think has a little bit of interest there. So maybe he's someone that they take a look at. Freddie Hamilton is someone that I think would be an easy choice. I don't know if Freddie Hamilton looks to be a future NHLer also. He's been in the minors for four seasons, kind of up and down from the NHL. But he's a right-handed shot. There's the Dougie Hamilton connection. Maybe they like to put those guys just together on the same roster and maybe see if see what Freddie Hamilton has at the NHL level in a Calgary Flames uniform. So he would be another guy that could get a look sooner than later. I threw out the name Emile Poirier. And it's tricky with Emile Poirier because he hasn't had a very good year. Now, he had a good weekend. He had three goals on the weekend, but prior to that, he only had three goals this entire calendar year. So it's been a struggle for Poirier. I doubt they go there just because they really want to make sure people are earning their rewards, but maybe he gets a look at the very end of the season just to kind of maybe give him a little boost of confidence going into the offseason, because this year hasn't been a very good one, almost been a regression for Emile Poirier. So those are some of the other names. I wish we could see Tyler Weatherspoon again, but with Weidman coming back off suspension pretty soon, there's going to be almost too many defense. So those are some of the names that I'd like to see. If there's an injury on the blue line, though, and we don't know about Nikolodl in his eye, maybe Weatherspoon might be on the practice ice this morning, depending on Nikolodl's situation.
Yeah, there's certainly a lot to still watch for in the last 17 games of the year. What can we watch for from flamesfrom80feet.ca this week?
I'm working on a bit of a survival guide for surviving the final month if you're a fan and what to look for. Kind of some of the things we've already talked on. I mean, you look exactly a year ago today, the Flames sat in a tie for second with Vancouver, 2 points on LA. So that month last year set up, the drama was right there. Everything was there. There was excitement, and it was all about the playoff chase. Without that this year, you know, how do you get through the final month if you're a fan? So I'm just working on something kind of playful in that regards.
And you mentioned you went to the to a bar to watch the fights on Saturday. Are you hooked now? Are you Uber UFC guy, can't wait, or just kind of eh?
Probably more than eh, but okay. At least I have a greater appreciation. So I like to think I'm a better person and a little bit more cultured than maybe I was 48 hours ago.
Well, if there's one thing MMA is known for, it's making people better people. Darren, thanks for taking some time, man. Appreciate it.
All right, we'll see you later.
See ya. That is Darren Haynes from flamesfrom80feet.ca.